put responsibility to anybody, but they trusted Jesus in us. As my friend Cross Ortiz says, I got to trust the Jesus in you. Amen? How many of you understand that we're in a place of transition? God is raising the people of God to prominence right now. And so I was in prayer for the word of God. You got to have a spirit of expectancy to receive His word today. Amen? Because He's placing you in a position to do something. And I know that the word this morning is just going to confirm what God has been doing and stirring up in you. You know, I know that Pastor Benny, and that's how I know him, is talking about failure. And there is a purpose to those times. Because sometimes we go through the pressure and the pain, but there's a purpose in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there is a need in this time that your life be on display, even through the ugly and the bad. That you stand hand in hand with the Lord so that the world can see the God of glory leading you out and delivering you to a place of promise. Amen. And every desire of your heart will be there. But you got to walk it out in faith. So I came with a word from the Lord. And I want to just honor Pastor Marty and Inez for trusting me to bring the word. And every minister in the house, our friends, the Ortiz family, and the guests that you brought. Thank you all for coming out. But I pray that you're receptive in the spirit. Amen. Because we need to tell the flesh, shut up, carnal mind, and spirit, receive. So I want you to say, shut up, carnal mind. Come on, people of God, be bold. You're supposed to walk in authority and dominion in the spirit. Wake up, spirit. Tell your spirit, wake up, spirit, receive. Because that's the only way that we're going to walk in dominion. Amen? Amen? So, Father God, I thank you for this time with your people. Your Lord, I thank you that we were your desire and you are our desire. Lord, I pray and I submit myself unto you as your mouthpiece. Give to your people what they need this morning, Lord. I know what I studied, but I just give you reign and rule, Father God. You're my champion. And I love you, Lord. And I thank you for your presence in this place. I thank you for a timely word. I thank you for spiritual nourishment, Father. I thank you that today, Lord, through the anointing on my life, Father God, that you will distribute strategy and clarity. You're going to break confusion off the hands of the enemy. I thank you that a second wind is going to come in. A fresh wind to the people of God is going to come in today because you're a faithful Father. You're a mighty God. You're a God who saves. And I just thank you and plead the blood of Jesus over every family here today, over every ministry here today, over every entryway. In the name of Jesus, Father God, we invite you in, Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you walk down every aisle and see every heart, knowing all things, bring every truth that they need today, Father God. And let it be a word that will catapult them forward in the very time that you're sending them into, Lord. I thank you for creative abilities and creative thoughts and capabilities because these are kingdom people, Lord. And I thank you that you uproot anything that the enemy has tried to plant and cause to grow. And I thank you that in those places, the Holy Spirit, the wisdom, understanding, and knowledge of God will come in and bring light against the darkness. And they are a people that are the head and not the tail. And I thank you, Lord, because you're a magnanimous God. You're an able God. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I thank you for igniting purpose and destiny this morning. And I give you all the honor and all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. You see, I don't know if you're full of passion for the one who passionately died for you, but I know the gutter that he got me out of, and I love him with all my life. All my life. That is in his hands to be the life that he wants to utilize. You see, I want to take you back and tell you what the Lord had been ministering to me. He said, one day I was getting my coffee and the Holy Spirit ministered to me and said, Jennifer, you got to understand that even amidst my children who say that they're near me, they really don't know me. So you got to know that even though, as you see in the house of God, people that are near me, they really don't know me.
He also told me that sometimes my children, I've seen that they get caught up in the pizzazz of personality. But you know what? They need the person of Jesus Christ for true transformation. Oh, I'm talking about the desire of the nation. And he says, you know what grieves me is that my children, because the unbeliever doesn't know me, but my children who have come to know me can no longer distinguish the difference between the act and the anointing. Come on, people of God. I don't know if you're a part of the remnant of the church in the church or the, but I'm tired of it. Because I know that the Lord Jesus Christ didn't go through everything that he went through so that we would be aimless and purposeless and without passion. Who wants to serve that kind of God? The desire of the nation. The Lord had me studying Chronicles, and I was telling my sister that's here today, I said, man, the Lord has had me in the Chronicles, and I don't understand because it's just extensive genealogies. It's name after name. It's this family and that family. But the Lord was trying to teach me something. He wanted me to see the roots of the nation and recount the royal bloodline and understand the plan of a very personal God. He said, I need you to understand your heritage and your lineage and the spirit. And I said, okay, Lord, so I'm going to study in all these names, tremendous names, long length of names. And in the plan of a personal God, I gained a glimpse of God at work through his people. For generations, because when you look through the Chronicles, you will see generations and lineages and sons that came from sons. And I understood that the Chronicles were written after the captivity of Judah and Israel. And I found that interesting because Israel are the people of God and Judah represents praise. So at one time, the church was positioned in captivity without a praise to be praiseworthy of their God. And I said, Lord, open my mind to understand. And he says, you have to understand that the Chronicles was just a summary of the people's spiritual heritage in an attempt to unify the nation. I said, what does that mean? And he said, the people were woven together and they understood the lesson spiritually. They held on to the moral truth. They understood the triumph in me. They understood their true heritage as one family, one nation, and one kingdom. There was no division but unity. He said the unity within the nation, the unity within the spirit, within my people, that is of utmost importance to rebuild the nation today. Oh, saints of God, I didn't come to give you a self-help word because that era is done with. You see, I came to talk to you that are ready to be ignited. You're in position. You've been hearing the Lord. And the Lord says, I've given you a destiny design. I've given you a plan for your life. You've been feeling a stirring. There are situations that stir you up and you don't know how to go about it. But God is about to release his blueprint so that you can begin to step out in faith. The unity within the nation, the desire of the nation. As we've seen the tragedy within the nation, within Texas, within Florida, there is a desire that the people have. And the key is in the people of God. That is the hope. That is the peace that surpasses understanding. It is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It is Jesus Christ, everlasting life, people of God. We got to rediscover our spiritual foundation and recommit to God's plan. The nation. The Lord reminded me in 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. A holy nation. In other words, people of God, you have been dedicated. You are God's own purchase, special people. Why? So that you will set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtue and the perfection of Almighty God, a peculiar people. You shouldn't be blended in with the world. There should be something that compels the unbeliever to know about your God. That you would show forth the praises of him who has called you out of the darkness into a marvelous light. And so as I continued in the Chronicles, I found powerful foundational families. because the names after a while got boring, but then I saw the threat. I even found a Perez, and I was excited. Hispanic, wow, is it Hispanic lineage? But when I read the family's names, these descriptions followed them. Valiant men, able to bear shield and sword, skillful in war, and they went to war. I said, how interesting that the Lord would have that written. Because sometimes we're equipped with the sword of the Lord. We're equipped with a powerful testimony within that no man can argue. We're equipped by the Spirit of God. As one woman said yesterday, the breath of God within us. But we don't go to war. But these men were skilled and went to war. There was something interesting my husband saw when he went to Rockport with Brother Ortiz. There were many donations. Oh, people brought them in by the truckload and dropped them off. Here you go, my good deed. And it is a good deed. But you know what lacked in time? Boots on the ground. What about the people that couldn't get there? They needed boots on the ground. They needed a compassionate heart that would push through the pressure and get that to them, that they would experience the hand of God. Because God is always looking for who's available to be the hands and the feet, people of God. You see, God came and gave me a charge to my life and for yours, that it is time to rise and not stand there and look at the wall, but know that you are skilled in combat and you must enter in the war. Mighty men, the Bible says. Famous men, the Bible says. Chief men, the Bible says. Troops ready for war, the Bible says. Very able men. To do what? These men of strength were ready for the work of the service of the house of God. And if you don't believe me, you need to read Chronicles. You could read 1 Chronicles 1 through 9 and find that. The desire of the nations. Finally, I got to 1 Chronicles 12, 22, and you can turn there if you'd like. And I read this that intrigued me. It says, for at that time they came to David, all these lineage of mighty men, day by day to help him until it was a great army. Until there was a great army. Like the army of God. And I looked at that and said, like the army of God. And I had to cross-reference that scripture. What is like the army of God? And I was led to Joshua. To Joshua 5, 13 through 15. And I'm going to read it. And the word of God says, if you have a title there, it says, the commander of the army of the Lord. Verse 13 says, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted his eyes and looked. And behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? Verse 14. So he said, no. But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? Verse 15. Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandal off your foot, and the place that you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. The commander of the army of the Lord. I'm talking about the desire of the nation. I had to study that scripture and understand what it meant. And I said, Lord, how does this tie into the desire of the nation? For you are the desire in this nation. Whether people understand it or not, you're the bread of life. You're the friend of sinners. You're the Savior. You're the soon coming crowned King. The commander of the army of the Lord. And I understood as I studied that who that individual was a pre-incarnate Christ near Jericho. In other words, Joshua had been confronted with the Spirit of Jesus, the presence of God. And he asked, are you for us or for our adversaries? And notice that the answer was no, neither. But the whole point was, as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And I want to tell you something. We got to get out of asking God what side he's on. Because God has come to take no sides. He's come to take over. You see, you have to understand that you will never know victory until you lay that sword aside at God's feet and worship him first. And so God says, stop trying to get me on your side with your beliefs, with your program, with your plans. You need to get on board with me. You need to bow down before me because victory is received by faith first. When I read about Paul, because I love the Apostle Paul and everything he went through for the gospel of Jesus Christ, such a knowledgeable, educated man, but he submitted to the will of the Lord. When Paul went to the destination, his desire was Rome, and he knew that that would cost him his life. He secured the work of the Lord when he purposed it in his spirit. You cannot do anything carnal against the flesh out here. And the Lord said, that's where my people have gone wrong. They have not taken my promise and purposed it in the spirit where the flesh and the enemy won't touch it and kill it. Oh, you better hear me, people of God. Joshua, he fell on his face to the earth and worshiped God. And he recognized the authority of God. He understood the presence of God. And even though Joshua was now a leader, he knew that he needed the leadership of Supreme, Almighty God. And he says, what does my Lord say to his servant? You see, Joshua's vision of the divine captain of the Lord's army, this man drawn with the sword before Jericho, which was a place that Joshua would be called to bring down. He has the presence of God before him, and he understood that this was a way that he would be undergirded for a massive warfare. And the Lord desired to show him who marshals the armies of heaven and who was with him, Israel. You see, the ground was made holy for Joshua as it had been for Moses. So there was a great work that was going to come forth. You see, I need to tell you that although there were surrounding areas, the Canaanites, who in that place of warfare in Jericho, they really had an upper hand. They really looked terrifying in that place. They really were huge. They were large and in charge in that day. And it would be a very great war. But you know what? God wanted to show that he was with Israel once more and that he was there to redeem and cause them to be victorious. You see, some of you are in a position where you're looking at some tremendous walls, very intimidating situations. I mean, let me tell you something. Even if you're not a person in purpose with specific details from the Lord, just looking at the news every day is a tremendous wall. Is a tremendous insecurity, instability in life itself. But God is saying, let me step in and I will give you the victory. But you got to be obedient to the instruction that I give. You see, when a redeemed people rise up, how many of you understand you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? When a redeemed people stand up, the victorious people begin to rise. That always disheartens the enemy. Oh, the enemy don't want you to get beyond the webs in your mind. He doesn't want you to realize his schemes and his plans. But you know what? Joshua was a new face of a new generation. And God spoke to me and says, you know, I'm raising new faces in this new generation. And let me tell you something. This generation of new faces that I'm rising up have been circumcised. You know, when I went into the Word and I began to see where Joshua was coming from, the Lord said to me, the generation previous to Joshua, all these people that didn't enter the promised land, they were circumcised people, but they didn't walk in for fear and for doubt. They forgot the covenant. They made it inactive. They didn't stay engaged with it. That's why they didn't enter in. But this generation, that's you and me. He said to me, my people have gone through a process of humbling. Oh, I know you feel that you failed somewhere, or that that thing is dead, or it's without remedy. But God said, I had to place a spiritual knife to some areas that were full of flesh and fleshly lusts. And I had to put them in a place where they would decide to allow that to die if they were going to continue with me. And so the humility that has come from a low place, man. And I've been there, let me tell you. But God said, in me, they have been pruned. They have been chiseled by the trial. They've been molded by the mess. They came to their right mind in me. And they said, you know what, flesh? I can't wrestle with you no more. So I renounce you. I serve you notice. I leave you. I reject you because I want to come in to be with God. It has hurt. You have been criticized. People thought you were upside down. What is this Christian life? Because they only saw the pruning where you had been reduced and they didn't understand why most of your life was gone. But God said, it's necessary. If you're going to grow great in me, I got to kill that flesh so the enemy will find nothing but me in you. You got to purpose that in your spirit. And so the process has been going on with God's children. But he had to cut away the excess flesh and baggage and even the carnal attitudes that we carried. And it hasn't been a pleasant experience. It's been painful. It's been intense, personal experience. But you know what? The rite of the circumcision, I learned, was a rite of the Father. And it represented a new beginning. And so there's a new beginning that has come to God's children. You see, we live in a time where God is saying, you can no longer claim to be my people and deny it by your very behavior and your actions. You've got to line up with your claim. You have got to line up with your claim. Because the Lord dealt with me and said, there is a church, but there's a church within the church, Jennifer. There's a true Israel within Israel. And there's a remnant who's remained faithful, who have kept my commands, and they have the testimony of Jesus Christ in them. Oh, you don't hear me, people of God. The testimony of Jesus Christ in them. When life wanted to crush you, the testimony of Jesus Christ in you wouldn't allow you to die. When the issues of life pressured your mind and your heart, the testimony of Jesus Christ wouldn't allow you to be driven out of your mind. When the testimony of Jesus Christ within you, when the enemy brought death to you, it might have felt like you were dying, but the Spirit of God within you rose you up to live again and come out stronger and more bolder and to stand again for your family, for your marriage, for your children, for for those purposes, you chose to choose God and stay fortified in the Lord and allow God, if you got to cut me, if you got to prune me, I don't win here, but in you I grow greater and stronger. And I've learned that it's in the Spirit that I can be great in the kingdom. And I'm telling you that God is bringing forth His remnant who have said, Lord, I've understood your covenant. And I understand that it goes beyond the meeting of my mind. And I choose not to be a mental agreeer anymore. And I have found that God, He's an eternal, faithful God. And He remembers His covenant forever. 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 That even if you're not faithful to pick it up, if your children ever grasp it, they can pick it up and live in the covenant where He covers everything. Even if my parents failed and didn't pick it up, if they did it halfway and didn't fully pick it up, I have the right by choice to pick it up and enter into the covenant with Almighty God. There is a problem that you're assigned to presently, people of God. And we're at a time where we cannot ignore the problem anymore and expect God to promote us and submit provisions on our behalf, but we refuse to be of service and resolve. I'm telling you today that God has drawn the line. And some of you will be found like that fig tree full of leaves but no fruit. You're no good to nobody. And I'm telling you that God has tarried for only a certain amount of time. But He's come today to say, will you choose? Will you choose? Because you've tried everything else and it's brought you no resolve. There's a hunger and a craving inside of you. And God desires to show you how He wants to implement you as a mighty instrument in His hand. Now, I see the people of God today who are doing everything everywhere for everybody. And they're not bad things, they're good things. But you know, I'm searching for the God thing, the desire of the nation. And I learned that even though there's issues and problems, you're not assigned to every one of them for everybody. Because God's a God of order and design. And He will determine where you've been assigned and where you belong. You see, even Jesus had a word for the Pharisees when He told them He wasn't called to those who were whole. He realized that He was called to those who were sick and in need of Him. One of the greatest revelations that the Lord gave me when I was studying Mary and Martha. Oh, you know that story. Because it seems like Mary was lazy because Martha was doing everything. Amen. She was hospitable. She was serving. She was cooking. Maybe she was making some Puerto Rican rice like Pastor Marty and Inez, and it's delicious, mind you. But you know what? Mary was not called to the ministry of hospitality as Martha was. She was called to co-labor with Almighty God. And every time she sat at Jesus' feet, she was being prepared to know when it was time to anoint the King of Glory. The kingdom purpose, people of God. Which tells me that we can get caught up in doing the God thing like Martha, but we miss the God thing, the good thing like Martha, but we miss the God thing. And we don't have that opportunity like Mary. You know that Mary was the only one that understood why Jesus had to go die. And she had the honor to anoint His head and His feet. I don't have time to go into that study. You see, I don't want to be caught up in the good work. Because it's admirable. But the world needs more than admirable. They need the anointing. I tell my husband all the time, it's good that we give Him food and clothes. It is good. But you know what? The LGBT is doing that respectfully. PETA is doing that respectfully. The school system's doing that respectfully. But the people of God, we got to pick up the mandate of God and go forth with the Spirit of God and feel the desire of the nations. It is a crucial time, people of God. And if you won't pick it up, man, I'll pick it up. Because I want the glory of God to go with me, and I want to see His glory transform lives. You see, we have to get to a place where we have the ability to hear the Spirit of God and not be so quick to be responding to every expectation of people. Learn to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Don't be so quick to respond to every expectation of people. You see, I saw that as what I observed with all this hurricane stuff going on. The heart was right, but sometimes we missed it. Now people are overloaded with water, and they still need people to go out there and labor. They still need people to go out there and tell them, this is what you need, this is what you need. My husband shared a story with me, very small, that when he went to Rockport one day, he was helping the church assemble that storage room with all the donations, and a family came. And they walked in where there was a bunch of supply. But they were so devastated by what happened. They needed help to know what they needed. You see, they didn't see the surplus of love and benefits, because the situation had devastated them so bad that all they saw was loss. And my husband, he recognized that. And he said, hey, listen, you're going to need this and you're going to need that. And the woman and her family went along with him. Yes, you're right. And little by little, there was clarity and there was strategy. And there was rebuilding just in him taking the time to show them what they needed now and long term. And I wanted to cry because I said, my God, that's how the people from the kingdom in the spirit should be. When we see people in the world that have been devastated, and all they see is devastation because they don't know the hope, they've never seen the love, that the light of the world would come through you and me and say, hey, listen, I've lost my loved one like you, but look, I want to take you into this room and show you the King of Glory. Here's healing. Here's restoration. He's stable. He's able. You're going to be all right. He put my life together. He's going to do it for you too. He brought me healing. I didn't lose my mind. He took me on my emotional roller coaster ride. It wasn't too scary. He was able to take everything that I was. And they see your beautiful life put together. And they see, you're right, you're right. And they receive the King of Glory. And they receive the transformation that He has desired for them to come into. That's how we make this place better. But the Lord did minister to me this. He is consistent and faithful. In the covenant, you can count on God giving you guidance, protection, and power to overcome. But you know where it gets complicated for us? That even when the Lord guarantees the win of the war, we get excited. But when He releases the instruction and it's upside down to our logic, we don't want to do it. When you read in Joshua 6, when Jericho is about to be destroyed, you will find that the Lord tells Joshua that He has given Jericho into his hand. He didn't give him the instruction first. In Joshua 6:2, he says, and the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. When God gives you a promise, you get excited, don't you? I get excited. I'm like, yes, Lord. Nationally, internationally, in the little church, yes, God. Then he says, Jennifer, here's the instruction. I want you to think about Joshua. He's a new face in leadership, but he's not new to leadership because he's been under Moses, trained. Everything that the people of Israel went through, he too went through. And I thought to myself, man, I'm surprised that Joshua never got upset. Like, when are these people going to get it together? You keep making me go around this mountain 40 times, 40 years. We should have been there in a few weeks. People get it together. But that, I think that was a testing of his heart. When other people are leading you another way, and you're like, Lord, my heart is here with you, but I got to go through with them. He never left. He stayed faithful to the Lord. And I thought about the instructions that the Lord gave Joshua. And I said, man, Lord, you really could trust him with some complicated instructions for this battle. I can't even imagine how Joshua would go back after the leadership of wonderful Moses. And as a new face in position, come and tell the man, listen, I know we've seen the walls of Jericho. They're really thick. They're very big. The enemy has a vantage point on where they can see us coming. It's known as invincible. It's intimidating. But I was in the face of the Lord, and the Lord was just in my presence. And he said, we're going to march around the city. He's talking to battle-ready men of war that are skilled in archery and the sword. They'll cut your head off. They'll take you out like the 300. And here comes young Joshua. The Lord said, we're going to march around the city, you men of war, and go around the city once. And we're going to do this not just today, but for 6 days. And I need you to have your trumpets ready. And on the seventh day, we're going to do something different. And the men of war, I can just imagine. Yeah, we're ready with the swords and the... And for Joshua to say, the priests are going to blow their trumpets. And the Lord said to me, you see, when I give my instruction to my children concerning the great promises for their life, it's strange and it's complicated, and that's where they cop out. And what I need you to know today is that what is strange to us, whatever military maneuver God gives to us, you've got to understand it. It's always a test of our faith and willingness to follow God completely. You see, because we want him to give us completely the promise, completely what we've been waiting for, complete family restoration, complete healing of the heart, complete successful businesses, complete wonderful ministries, complete restoration of life. And God says, well, I need you to completely obey my instruction. And so God's instruction may require you to do things that don't make sense at first. I understand. If you knew my life in ministry, you know that I'd understand. And I'm going to tell you that you just need to take the instruction and take it day by day. One step at a time, following step by step. And I'm going to tell you this, that the logic of God's plan sometimes doesn't unfold until after you obey. Have you ever been in a situation where you have the wisdom of God through an experience, but you know that you didn't get it till after? You're like, oh, wow, God, I'm glad. It didn't work out the way I thought. But there's a beautiful purpose that he placed inside of you. And he does that so that people will see that it was only by his hand, because he will not glory in flesh. The desire of the nation. You know, yesterday, and I'm going to close with this.
I went to a women's conference, and I didn't know why, because I knew I was preaching here today, and my sister Cross, she'll tell you, I'm very complicated. Talk about complicated instructions. I literally shut down, and I tell her, you got to know that I love you, but I'm like a cat. When I'm hungry, I want food, and I'll go rub your leg, but I love you. But when I'm getting ready for the Word of God, and there's a few different things that I'm doing, I want to get in the Lord, because I know that it's bread for your life. And I know that when I get behind any pulpit, whether it's in the street, whether it's the marketplace, whether it's an actual church, there's a boxing match I'm about to enter with every lie of the enemy. And I need the champion to fill me. Because I don't know about you, but I sat in church services barely learning several years ago, and even now sometimes. And I'm searching for a word for my life, and there's none. And I told the Lord, Lord, why do you want me to go to this women's gathering? And it was in Cotula. And I didn't tell nobody. And I told my husband, well, the Lord's telling me to go, and I don't understand why. I just want to stay home and be in the Word and make sure my notes are right. And I'm real hard-headed with my binder and highlighters and color coding. You know, God does what He wants. And then Cross called me and said, hey, da-da-da-da-da, details. I'm going to Cthulhu. I was like, oh, now I can't even say I can't because of my car. Here's Cross. And we went. And you know what I saw, people of God? It was a women's conference. I saw beautiful testimonies of women that have gone through loss. One that, man, when I got home, I loved on my husband and my kids. Well, my girls were out at the mall, but I saw them later. But she shared how her husband, man of God, serving the Lord, married 27 years, love of her life, gave the most powerful sermon on January 8th. The people were blessed. They received. He felt the presence of God. He loved the Lord. He loved his wife. He had three children, two daughters like mine and a son like mine. I could say the family dynamic makeup was similar to mine. And she shared the personality of her husband, and I thought about mine. Before the end of that day, while they were home and just vegging as we do after days like this, they were going to meet together about their week. And he said, honey, go ahead and take your women's conference call for work. And when I come back, I'll have your coffee ready. And we'll talk about the week. But I just got to go to the dollar store around the corner, and I'll be right back. And I was listening. And she said, you know, my husband, he didn't get home. I tried calling his phone, but, you know, sometimes men of God, they're on the phone ministering to someone, and they don't answer the wifey's call. And I know that through my husband. So I'm like, eh. Then she said, I pinged his phone, and that usually gets him to respond, but he didn't respond. And then, you know, as women, the intuition we have, we know that we know. And I told my kids, I'm going to go in the car and go check on your dad. Maybe he needs help. And so she got in the car. Mind you, her oldest was on a cruise for her 21st birthday with her best friend, but her second oldest and her son were at home. Just this year, January 8th. She drove, and right around the corner, she saw lights, ambulance, fire truck, policeman, and a big 18-wheeler. And I saw this woman tell such a tremendous story in the strength and grace of the Lord. She said, you know, I knew it was my husband. And I stepped out of my car, and an officer came, and he said, who are you missing? She says, well, I've been calling my husband. And he says, what was he driving? A white Hyundai with a worship sticker on the back. She says, let me get someone to come talk to you, ma'am. And she said, woman of God, I went to my car. I called. There were certain individuals in her life that would respond at a heartbeat. That's covenant with your Christian brother and sister. You should have people like that in your life.
And they came and got her. Her friends were there by the time the officer came to get her. And it was confirmed that it was her husband. He had been in a horrendous accident. And she shared how one of the last things her husband did was say to her that that was the most glorious day of his life. The presence of God, the whole experience, his daughter doing the praise and worship and ministering, witnessing that, and then releasing blessing over his son to rise up, his little boy. And she said, those words had to ring in my ears all these months to let me know that I'm going to be well. And you know, I got it because she said something so powerful. She said, you know, I learned that the Lord desires that we walk it out with Him so that others can see how God is meeting our needs. And I thought about the walls of Jericho, and she shared a little bit about how two chariots could fit on the top of that wall, and I didn't know that. I knew how tall and how thick they were, and the vantage point of the enemy, and it was very invincible and strong and powerful, but God broke the wall down. And I understood that that it, that God desires us to walk out with Him, are the issues, are the grief, is the pain, is the problem. It's the new season. He says, I need you to trust and walk in agreement with me. So people, as they see that I'm your desire, they will come to know the desire for the nation. And so I don't know what some of you are going through today, but I know that there are those of you positioned to make a move forward. Whether it's healing in your heart or having the faith to walk forward in what God has called you to do, I'm telling you, it's got to be in Him because He's faithful. He's going to give you the strategy for this time, for this season, because this hurting world needs to see that you're walking out the issue with God or the new purpose in God so that others will see that God is meeting your every need. Your every need.